Well, my name's Josh, and I'm one of the leaders here. I'm one of our worship leaders, and I lead one of our life groups. And I just want to thank everybody for being here today. I want to give a quick shout out to the students from the venue. Yeah. From what I heard, you guys had an amazing lockout or lock-in this weekend. Yeah, we want to lock you out because you all smell. Just kidding. But if you're sitting around the youth and they do have a strange smell, just give them some grace this morning. They haven't had the chance to shower in, 24 hours or so? No. It sounds like you all had a great time, so glad you can be a part of the service here today. We're in the middle of a sermon series called Jesus the Storyteller, and in this sermon series, we've been talking about the parables of Jesus. Parables are really simple stories that Jesus told to illustrate a spiritual lesson. You could say that parables are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning. And I really believe that we can use the parables of Jesus to get a better understanding of who God is and really get a better understanding of how God thinks. So far in this sermon series, we've talked about the parable of the lost sheep. And in this parable, we learned how our Father God is like a shepherd who has 100 sheep. And if just one of those sheep wanders away, he leaves the 99 others to go after that lost sheep. In the business of shepherding, that would be considered foolish, it would be considered reckless, but that's the type of love that God has for us. He has reckless love for us. Last week, we learned about the parable of the prodigal son, and we learned how God the Father longs for his children to return to him when they've wandered away. And when somebody turns away from their sinful life and turns back to God, God doesn't just say, "Oh, that's nice." No, God sees that child returning to him in the distance, and he runs after the child, and he wraps his arms around him, and he throws a party. That's how much God loves us. That's the type of value that God has for us. And today, we're going to be covering a parable that Jesus told, and it's not going to talk so much about God's love and about his great value that he has for us. What it's really going to talk about is how serious God is about forgiveness. It's going to talk about how serious God is about forgiving us and how serious... Uh-oh. My phone's ringing. This is embarrassing. I thought I had put this on mute. Sorry, everybody. Wow, Pastor Dave's going to kill me. People know I'm in church on a Sunday morning. Why would they be calling me? Okay. Anyways, as I was saying, we're going to be talking about forgiveness this morning, and we're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. If you're not familiar with the book of Matthew, it is the first book of the New Testament. There are four... Oh, man. Jeez. You can't leave a message? You got to call me right back? Okay, let's... I'd better take this here. Excuse me one second, guys. Hello? Yeah? Yeah, this is Josh. Collection agency. Oh, now's really not a good time. I realize I haven't exactly been paying my bills, but I can't owe that much, right? What? $100 million? $100 million U.S. dollars? I guess I didn't realize it had been that much. I could probably schedule a payment for like $50 after service today. That's not going to cut it, is it? Okay. What? No. No. Oh, no. No. Please, no. No. I've got a lot of friends here. They might be able to help me out. Okay. All right. Thank you. Oh, geez. Okay. Sorry about that, everybody. Don't know how much you heard there, but apparently a collection agency just called me because I owe quite a bit of money, $100 million, in fact. Don't understand how I racked up that much debt. I know time flies when you're having fun, and apparently so does the money. That's them again. Okay. Hello? Yeah, this is Josh. What? Are you serious? No. You're joking, right? You're joking. No. What? Oh my goodness. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I I can't thank you enough. Wow, you have a blessed day too. All right, goodbye. Okay, everybody. So you won't believe this, but that was the collection agency again, and they called, and they said that they're just wiping away that debt. Wow, yeah. You don't have to help me out now. I owed $100 million, and now it's just gone like that. They just wiped it away. $100 million. I owe nothing. I don't owe anything. I don't owe them a thing. Wow. That reminds me, my brother Jesse owes me 100 bucks. Let me text him real quick. Just real quick. This will just take a second. Jesse, I'm sick of waiting for that money I let you borrow. I want it by the end of the day, or I'm going to post on Facebook what an irresponsible person you are and how nobody should ever let you borrow anything ever, ever, ever. Angry face, angry face, angry face, skull face. All right, we're good to go. All right, where were we? Right, Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Okay, just have to confess, that phone call wasn't real in case you couldn't tell. I know my acting skills are on point, and it was very believable, but that was not real. And also, I love my brother Jesse very much, and I would never be mean to him like that most of the time. What just happened was based on what we're about to read here. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Verse 21, then Peter came to him being Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. So here you have Peter. Peter is one of Jesus' disciples. He's basically in Jesus' inner circle. And he comes to Jesus asking him how often he should forgive someone. He says, should I forgive someone seven times? And Jesus is basically saying, there should be no limit to how much you forgive someone. He says, not seven times, how about 70 times seven times? And then Jesus takes it a step further, and he tells a parable. And this is the parable we're about to read here, starting in verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Time out real quick. A talent is a form of money used back then. In that part of the world and in that time period, a talent was basically the highest denomination of currency. It was a lot of money. I did some research on this. I found out that it would take the average person, the average worker, about 16 years to earn the equivalent of one talent. And what did Jesus say? This guy owed 10,000 talents. You do the math, you know how long that would take you to pay back 10,000 talents? 160,000 years. That's a lot of money. What was this guy doing to rack up a debt like that? Jesus here is basically saying this guy owed a debt he could never repay. It's like Jesus said he owed a gazillion, bazillion, gajillion dollars. You know, it's just so much money it could never be repaid. Let's pick it up here in verse 25. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. It's kind of similar to the phone call here with the collection agency and then me texting my brother that he owed me 100 bucks. Said that he owed 100 denarii. A denarius was another form of currency back then. It would take the average worker a day to earn one denarius. So this worker owed 100 denarii. He owed that guy about $10,000. Yes, $10,000 is a lot of money to pay back to somebody, to owe somebody, but $10,000 is just a drop in the bucket compared to what the other servant owed when he owed 10,000 talents. So let's pick it up here, verse 29. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Wow. Talk about forgiveness there. Jesus is comparing our Father God to the king in this story, to the master in this story who forgave all that debt. And if we want to put ourselves into the story, we can be that first servant who owed the debt that could never be repaid. You see, each of us is born with a sin nature. We're all born with sin. And just like that man deserved to be sent to jail for the debt he could never repay, we deserve to be sent to hell for the debt we could never repay because we have that sin in our lives. But our Father in heaven, Father God, is so compassionate. He loves us so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to come to earth to live a perfect life and to be that payment for our debt. Jesus died on the cross and he rose again so that we could have eternal life. That's how much God loves us. If we just ask for forgiveness, God forgives us and he just wipes away the debt just like that. And he expects us to show that same type of compassion to other people the same way that he showed pity to us. So let's think about that. How do we respond when other people have wronged us? How do we respond when people have hurt us, when they've offended us? Think about how often that happens. It's very possible that this morning alone, you've already been offended multiple times. It started early, ladies, when you're getting ready for church. And you asked your husband the one question that a woman should never ask a man, "Does this make me look fat?" And your husband responded in a way that didn't sit well with you. You've been offended. That's strike one. Then you got in your car and you're driving. And on the way to church, somebody cuts you off. They were obviously in the wrong. They almost cause an accident. And then they stare you down and they have the audacity to flip you the bird. That's strike two. Then you get to church and all you want is a cup of coffee, right? So you get in line and you leave a little space between you and the person in front of you so that people can get through to the bathroom. And then somebody comes in, doesn't know that you're leaving space, and they cut in front of you and they take the last cup of coffee. Rude. That's strike three. That's just this morning. What's the rest of today going to be like? We've all had days like that, right? We've all had days like that before. If you think back on the past week, you can probably think of several times where somebody has offended you or where somebody has hurt you. If you think back on the past year, think back on the past 5 years, you can probably think of much greater ways that somebody has hurt you, right? Somebody talked about you behind your back. Somebody lied to you straight to your face. Somebody stole from you. You had a significant other cheat on you. Those are horrible, horrible offenses, but they're also incredible opportunities. They're incredible opportunities for us to either withhold forgiveness from someone or to offer forgiveness to somebody. How many times did Jesus say forgive? We just read it there. Jesus said that our forgiveness should be limitless, without limits. The famous author C.S. Lewis once said this quote. He said, "To be Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you." Let me say that again. To be Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. So how often do we forgive and how do we forgive? Do we forgive with our own definition of forgiveness or do we forgive with God's definition of forgiveness? We know what our definition of forgiveness looks like, right? Here's an example. "Yeah, I forgive him, but I'm never going to talk to him again. I'm never going to see him again, and for all intents and purposes, he's dead to me." Is that true forgiveness? Or how about this? "Yeah, I forgive her, but every time she messes up in even the most microscopic way, I'm going to remind her how she hurt me and how she does this over and over again." Is that true forgiveness? The Bible has a lot to say about forgiveness. There was a preacher back in the 1600s named Thomas Watson, and he put together a definition of forgiveness based on scripture references in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. I was able to find an acronym that defines the word forgive based on those Bible verses that Thomas Watson used. So we're going to put that on the screen here. Feel free to take a picture of the screen or take notes and look up these Bible verses afterwards, but we're going to go through this briefly. To define the word forgive, we can start with the letter F, which means to forsake revenge. That's based on Romans 12:19. To forsake revenge means I'm not going to seek revenge. I'm going to put this situation in God's hands, and I'm going to allow God to deal with the other person. I mentioned the possibility that you have been wronged when a significant other cheated on you. To handle that situation, to forsake revenge, means you're not going to go out and cheat on them just because they cheated on you. You're going to forsake revenge. Oh, only wish them well. That's based on Luke 6:28. I'm going to bless those who curse me. I'm going to choose to have the kind of heart that God would want me to have in this situation. Only wish them well. The letter R, respond to evil with good. That's based on 1 Thessalonians 5:15. That means I don't care what the other person says about me. I don't care what they do to me. I don't care if they lie to me. I'm going to respond with what is good, and I'm going to pursue good for everyone involved in this situation. There's a good chance that many of us in this room are divorced or are going through divorces. A way to apply this to that situation is if your ex talks crap about you to the kids, lies about you to the kids, you're not going to respond to that evil with evil. You're going to respond to evil with good. Just because they lie about you and talk crap about you to the kids, you're still going to talk highly about your ex to your kids because your ex is still their father or mother and your kid still loves their parent. You're going to treat them that way. We're only through three letters right now. We got four more to go. This is crazy, right? G, grieve over their troubles. Proverbs 24:17. That means I'm not going to be happy if something bad happens to the person who has hurt me. I find out that the person who has hurt me lost their job. I'm not going to sit there and say, aha, what goes around comes around, sucker. No. I'm not going to act that way. I'm going to grieve over their troubles. I'm going to feel sad for them. I'm going to mourn with those who mourn. The letter I, intercede for their welfare. This means that I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray for the person who hurt me. Let me speak from my own experience. When someone has hurt me deeply, first, I work to forgive them in my heart, and then two, I pray for them. And I'll tell you what, you don't know what kind of weight is lifted from you when you're able to pray for that person. When you're able to say, God, just bless this person. I pray that you would soften their heart towards me. I pray that you'd bring peace to this situation. When you're able to pray for that person, something changes inside you, and the situation tends to improve. Even if they don't ask for forgiveness, you're still able to walk around with peace and with joy because of how you're dealing with that situation. V, value reconciliation and seek it. That's based on Romans 12:18. That means I'm going to do my part to make things right, and I'm going to try my best to bring peace to the situation. I'm going to try to be reconciled to that person. E, extend help if they're in distress. It's based on Exodus 23:4. It means I'm actually going to help them if they're in need of help. If the person that hurt you comes down with a sickness or an illness, that means you're going to make them dinner and take it to them. You're going to pick up dinner. That's crazy, right? Who does that? But that's what God wants us to do. That's the type of attitude of forgiveness that God wants us to have in a situation like this. All of this here probably goes against our natural reaction of how to handle a situation when someone has hurt us. To the outside world who doesn't know God, to those who don't have a relationship with Jesus, all of this sounds like crazy talk. Because you know what? It is crazy. But that's the type of love that God has to us. That's the type of grace he has for us, the forgiveness he has for us. It's crazy. It's what we don't deserve, but he gives it to us anyways. He wants us to have that type of heart towards other people. You might remember the tragedy that took place about 10 years ago in Pennsylvania. It took place in an Amish community. There was a gunman who went into a one-room schoolhouse in this Amish community. He started firing shots, and he killed five little girls, and he wounded five others, and then he killed himself. Do you know how the Amish community responded in this situation? They responded the way that Jesus would have responded, in a crazy way. These Amish families who just lost their children went to the house
of the gunmen, and they comforted his widow, and they comforted his parents. I read a story of one of the Amish fathers who went to the house, and he hugged the father of the murderer for an hour as the man wept. If that's not enough, these families went to the funeral of the man that killed their girls. Who does that? That's the heart that God wants us to have. That's the type of forgiveness that God wants us to have. Forgiveness that we don't deserve. That's what they offered to this man's family. It's a response that doesn't make sense, but it's how God wants us to respond. In fact, I would go so far as to say, if we don't have this type of heart, if we don't have this type of forgiveness to others, that we're going to risk losing God's forgiveness. Let's read what God said here in that passage, verse 32. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father will also do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. The master in this story, the king, he had already forgiven that servant the debt that he could never repay. He had already forgiven him. But when he heard that that same servant withheld forgiveness from someone else, he took back his forgiveness and he threw the man in jail. That's a scary thought. That makes me want to look deep inside myself, take a look at my heart, and see if I'm withholding forgiveness from someone. We must have a heart of forgiveness to those who have hurt us. Does that mean we shouldn't be angry? No, of course not. We're allowed to be angry. But the question is, what do we do with that anger? Do we give it to God? Or do we hold on to it? Do we hold on to that anger until it makes us into a bitter person and bitterness develops and we just carry that around like a weight? What do we do with the anger? God wants us to give it to him. God wants us to have forgiveness. As we get ready to close here, I'd like to finish with one scripture reference that sums up the heart of God towards us. It's Psalm 103, verses 10 through 12. It says, "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Taking it back to Jesus' parable, we were all born with that debt that we could never repay. But when we confess our sin, when we put our faith in Jesus, God removes that sin from us as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't give us the punishment that we deserve. He gives us mercy. He shows us amazing grace that can never be explained. And he wants us to treat others the same way. They probably don't deserve forgiveness in our own eyes, but how could we ever withhold forgiveness from someone after what God has done for us? Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, fill this place with your presence. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you so much for your forgiveness. I thank you personally for how you've forgiven me, Lord. Thank you for your grace, for your mercy. I don't deserve it. We don't deserve it, but you give it to us. Keep your eyes closed this morning. As I was preparing for this message today, God really put on my heart that there are people struggling with forgiveness. You're hanging on to unforgiveness, and it's weighing you down. It's like a weight. It's like chains. God wants to set you free from that today. God wants to tear down those walls of unforgiveness. Think about that story. The master forgave that debt that could never be repaid. That's what God has done for you. But he requires you to do the same to others. I get it. You've been hurt in terrible ways. I've been hurt in terrible ways myself. But when I truly was able to accept God's forgiveness, I realized what he had done for me, and I was able to offer that forgiveness to others. I believe God wants today to be the day where he's going to set you free from the unforgiveness you hold to those who have hurt you. So with our eyes closed, if that's you this morning, if you're struggling with not being able to forgive someone, if you're harboring unforgiveness and you want that broken, I would just invite you to raise your hand this morning. I want to pray for you. There's a hand. There's a hand. There's a hand. There's a hand. We've got multiple hands up. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Raise those hands high. God wants today to be the day that he brings victory in your life over this. Lord God, you see all these hands that are raised this morning. These are your children, Lord. These are people struggling with unforgiveness. They've been hurt terribly. Lord, I know you want to set them free. So right now, through the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just work a change in them right now. I pray, Lord, that you would begin to soften their hearts. I pray right now that you would just break down those walls of unforgiveness. Right now, Lord, start hammering away at those walls of unforgiveness. They're taking this first step, Lord, declaring that they have a problem with unforgiveness, Lord, and I believe you're going to meet them where they are right now. Break these chains, Lord. Lord, we're going to pray for the people that have hurt them. We're going to pray for them right now. I pray, Lord, that you would soften the heart of the people that have hurt your children in this room. I pray that you would bring about reconciliation, that these relationships would be restored, that peace would reign, your peace that surpasses all understanding would just flood these relationships, this situation, Lord. Bring healing in Jesus' name. With your eyes still closed, if there's anyone who has yet to experience God's forgiveness, I want this to be your day too. If you haven't yet put your faith in Jesus, if you haven't yet developed a relationship with Jesus, if you haven't yet accepted God's forgiveness for your sins, today can be that day. Don't let today pass without giving your life to Jesus. The Bible says that tomorrow is promised to no one. You don't know what could happen after you leave church today. It's scary to think of, but you can get in an accident for all we know. Don't let today pass you by without accepting God's forgiveness. He sent his son Jesus so that you could spend eternity with him in heaven. All you have to do is confess your need for him, confess your sins. He'll forgive them. He'll wipe them away just like that. If that's you this morning, if you want to give your life to Jesus, if you want to experience God's forgiveness, I invite you to raise your hand this morning. Let today be your day. Is there anyone who would make that decision today? Just raise your hand this morning. Thank you, Lord. We got a hand here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. There are others in this room. There are other people who need that forgiveness, who need that relationship with God. Let's all pray together. We're going to just ask for God's forgiveness and ask for a relationship with Jesus. Lord God, I confess I'm a sinner. I confess I have a debt that can never be repaid. But I believe that you sent your son for me to be payment for my debt. And right now, I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I make him the Lord and Savior of my life. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe that he died and rose again for me. And from this day forward, I'm going to serve him with all that I am. Amen. Let's just praise God for this life that was just given to God. Well, when the service is over, I would invite you to go back to our next step table. We have some information we'd like to give to you so that you can further your walk with Jesus. As I was worshiping, I felt like God put on my heart that there are a couple of things that people are struggling with this morning. One that specifically stood out was a foot issue.
I don't know what exactly was wrong with the foot. I don't know if it's plantar fasciitis or a sprain or something. But if that's you, we do have people that would like to pray with you. We have people at the back of the room, and they have lanyards on that say they're part of the prayer team. So if you have a specific need for that, we're going to sing one more song. And during that time, if you want to head back, they can pray for you. And if you are really struggling with that unforgiveness, we prayed just a moment ago, but if you want some additional prayer, we would like to pray with you. So after service or during this song, we have the people in the back with the tags. Just look for one of them, and they'd be happy to pray with you. We're going to close with one more song, and then we'll dismiss this morning.